This morning, I've been asked, and by the way, one of the things I've told you before that I love about this congregation is how we're always communicating together about things, and no one is afraid to come to me and to ask me to talk about a subject, and I'm so grateful. At least it doesn't seem to be the case, and I'm so grateful for that. One of the hardest things for me, I don't know about other preachers, is trying to find what topic to talk about. So I'm grateful for these requests. This one this morning is one that is, I understand, is somewhat of a sensitive subject because this is something that a lot of folks struggle with, something that a lot of folks are dealing with or have dealt with in their past. There's no question in my mind, and just having overheard some who were discussing this, that many of you here struggled with this in the past. Some of you are fighting this right now. We may be aware of some, and others we may not even recognize that it's going on. But it is something that is plaguing many of our lives and many of our loved ones' lives. And it's something that is very difficult for many folks, from what I understand, to get over this, once you've kind of got really involved in it and addicted to it. And so I recognize that as we talk about this subject. I hope that I don't sound insensitive to it, but we'll certainly see what the Word of God has to say, the principles that would apply to this topic, and I hope that it will be beneficial and answer the questions that are brought up about it. To begin with, I want to talk about the facts, and I know it's not pleasant to hear these, but I just want us to begin by recognizing the truths, the reality behind what cigarettes are doing, what smoking is doing, cigars, pipes, whatever you want to talk about, inhaling this stuff, what it's doing to the world around us. And looking at this, and you can get online and see for yourself some of the numbers, and they may vary from place to place, but from what I'm seeing, more than 480,000 individuals are dying from smoking every year. 480,000. And in that number, that includes those that are dying of secondhand smoking as well. You know, sometimes we forget that that can also be very deadly and that many die from it just as well. Not as many as certainly are smoking, but certainly has an effect. So 480,000 folks. And it's the most, what do they call it, the leading preventable cause of death. It's not the most, doesn't cause the most amount of deaths, but it is the leading preventable cause of death. In other words, something we can control, and yet it's taking so many lives. By the way, that's 50 people per hour that are dying. Before the end of this service this morning, including Bible class, some 100 individuals will die from smoking. That's not counting some 14,400,000 that are living with a related illness, lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, other diseases, many of them, etc., that we could talk about that have come from smoking or secondhand smoking, the effect that it can have on the individual. 30 times the amount of those who are dying every year. And if that's not enough, 3,450 teenagers are trying cigarettes for the first time every day. Every day, that many teens are trying them out. In fact, I was looking that 80% of adults who smoke started before they were 18 or by the time they were 18 years old. It is incredible how common it is. Doesn't make it okay, but it is very, very common, and it is a very real struggle in many's lives. And it's an interesting topic because everyone that I have spoken to about this, and you ask them the question, how did you start? How did you smoke your first cigarette? I have never had someone look at me and honestly tell me, or even falsely tell me, that they enjoyed their first cigarette. Nobody has ever said that. Nobody ever says, I took a puff of that first cigarette and I loved it. It just doesn't work that way. They'll tell you that I coughed, I choked, it was terrible. And usually the second, third, and pack. And in fact, I was talking to someone the other day who said it was 6 months before they really could enjoy those cigarettes. But there's an influence usually involved. Someone around them that is smoking and that is encouraging you or that individual to smoke as well, that leads them. It's usually 9 times out of 10, in my experience, in talking with individuals who smoke, it was an influence that got them to smoke. That's how it started. And they pushed through that disgust knowing that that individual was telling them it's going to get better and you're going to love it. Some folks think it looks cool. There's all kinds of reasons, especially teenagers. It's about fitting in. It's about popularity. And so the purposes for doing it are not necessarily going to be good ones either. But let's talk about the spiritual lessons from this, the spiritual applications, the problems that come biblically from smoking. You're not going to find a passage that says, thou shalt not smoke. You won't see that. It's not there. But there are certainly some principles that we need to think about when it comes to smoking. And I hope by the end of this, will help us all decide whether or not it's something that we need to be participating in our lives. Number one, and let's start with maybe at least the first two that are the most obvious here. Nicotine is a poison. There's no need to beat around the bush. It's a poison to the body. In fact, it is comparable to cyanide. The only difference is that it's a bit more diluted, and our body can excrete it better than it can cyanide. But it is a poison. It was used in the past in insecticides to help kill insects. It's a very deadly. In fact, there are about 700 different ingredients that are in cigarettes, that are in the tobacco and such that compose these cigarettes that we're smoking or that those individuals are smoking. And some 70 of them are carcinogens, that which causes cancer in those cigarettes. They are filled with carbon monoxide, including. You've heard of carbon monoxide poisoning and the effect that it can have on the body. All of that is being indigested. Now, why is that so significant? Why would we mention that? Because of the obvious passage, 1 Corinthians 6:19. You talk about this subject, you talk about this passage, and the reason is because it says that our body is the temple of God. The Spirit that dwells in us, that we're not our own. In verse 20, we're bought with a price, and therefore we should glorify God in our bodies. Right? We're stewards of these bodies. God gave them to us, and we need to take good care of them. Right? It's like borrowing something from someone else, and you treat it like it's not your own. Right? We need to treat our bodies like they're not our own, because they're not. They're God's. And so we take care of what we put into them. Now, we could talk about more than just smoking. There's other things we can put into our bodies, too, and we may talk a little about that in a moment. But for now, focusing on smoking, look at 2 Corinthians 7, maybe a passage that's not quite as familiar to us as 1 Corinthians 6. You've heard it. If you've struggled with smoking, or you have heard lessons on it, or you're struggling with it now, you've heard 1 Corinthians 6 over and over and over again, I have no doubt. What about 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1? Another passage just to supplement that discussion. Discussion rather, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Excuse me. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That filthiness of the flesh is a very encompassing phrase. There are a lot of things that could be deemed filthiness of the flesh, sins of a sexual nature, but of course also including anything that would defile the body in a physical or spiritual sense, or both in this case, and that is smoking, all filthiness of the flesh. And it's interesting because those who smoke will tell you it is nasty. It smells bad. It is filthy. They might even use that term. It's gross, but it's something that it's very hard to stop doing. I can only imagine and begin to sympathize with those who are dealing with that. Number two, another very obvious thing about smoking is, or tobacco products in general, I guess, is the addiction. It is addicting. Brethren, we forget sometimes how clear the Bible is about things that cause us to lose self-control. Things that violate our temperance. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control. Being able to not be brought under the power of something else. 2 Peter 2 and verse 19. Turn over there with me. 2 Peter 2. Verse 19, perhaps one of the most clearest passages on this subject of addiction. 2 Peter 2:19. I'll give you a moment to get there. Peter writes, "While they promise them liberty, that is freedom, they themselves are the servants of corruption." Notice this, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage." Now, the technical application here being that of sin in general. When you're overcome with something, you're brought under the bondage of it. You serve it. So when I'm addicted to something, whether it's smoking, alcohol, or anything else for that, I mean, you name it. If I'm addicted to it, that is, I crave it, I want it, something that is not, I'm not talking about, you know, you need something to eat or you need some water or something like that. That's That's a natural craving God gave us. You understand the difference, though. When I'm addicted to something in this world and I lose that control, I'm overcome by it, then I'm in bondage to it. And Peter says that is opposite of the liberty we should have in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Paul would have something to say about it as well. 1 Corinthians 6, before verses 19 and 20, he'd already mentioned, at least by way of application and inference here, addiction. 1 Corinthians 6, 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Right? They're not best or wise. "All things are lawful for me, but notice this, I will not be brought under the power of any." Paul says there's not going to be anything that I allow to overcome me in my life to cause me to lose control to it. Nothing that I couldn't say no to, in other words. And I'll show you in just a moment a little more about that and why he would make that statement. But keep this in mind. There is nothing, Paul says, that I could ever get to the point that I wouldn't be able to say no to it. I'm not going to let it overcome me. I'm not going to be brought under its power or its authority. There's only one whose authority I'm under, outside of that which he tells me to be under authority. I'm under the authority of the elders, but I'm under their authority because God tells me that I'm under their authority. If God doesn't tell me to be under the authority of this, then I don't need to be under its authority or to lose control to it. What about this one? It hurts our influence. Maybe something we wouldn't think just as quickly about. In other words, let me ask it this way. Let's say for a moment that every one of us in here is struggling with smoking, or let's say we smoke on occasion. Would you feel comfortable sitting down in a Bible study with someone and smoking a cigarette during that Bible study? I think the overwhelming answer would be no. You wouldn't feel comfortable with that, because we recognize, regardless of whether you feel that it's wrong or not wrong, we recognize that it's looked down upon. It's something that those who don't smoke and even those who do think is gross. It doesn't smell good. There are a lot of things that associated with it that are negative. And so you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't study the Bible with someone and feel comfortable smoking during that Bible study, because that's going to hurt your influence. How am I going to be an effective evangelist when there may be something that is turning them off from listening to me or paying attention to me? Because they recognize I've got a bad, nasty habit here, and they might not want to listen to me or hold me as credible as someone who doesn't have, let's say, that habit or some other public discretion or a public sin or problem that they're struggling with in their life. Matthew 5:16, you know this passage, you could quote it. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," right? And kind of joking with someone earlier, that light that it's talking about is not a cigarette, right? That would hinder our light. That hinders us from being that good influence, because it is frowned upon. It is looked down upon in the world around us, even by those who are not necessarily involved with Christianity. Many of them would be disgusted by it. 1 Corinthians 9:22 that you see there as well. In fact, let's turn to this one. 1 Corinthians 9:22, another passage that you're probably familiar with. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Again, this is the attitude of someone who is 100% devoted to the evangelism of God's Word. He says, Paul writes, "To the weak, I became as weak that I might gain the weak." And Paul's, and you can, you know, back up and read further here, and Paul's literally just saying here, I'm going to do whatever it takes, anything not contrary to God's will, in order to bring people to Christ. He said, "I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some." If there is anything Paul could do to better his chances of bringing somebody to Christ, he's going to do it. By necessary inference, if there's anything that might hinder his chances of bringing someone to Christ and thereby not giving him the best chance, then he's going to avoid it. He's going to do everything in his power to bring people to Christ. And if there's anything, and you would say, we could ask Paul here by supposition, I suppose, if we said to Paul, "If smoking would cause us to lose our influence in teaching others the gospel, would you advise us not to do it?" You know what the answer to that would be. Because everything that he could possibly do in order to bring others to Christ, he's going to do it. Or that which he needed to avoid in order to hinder that, he would avoid. Number four. This is another one of those topics. Even if by the end of this lesson, you disagree with me that it is not contrary to God's Word, In other words, if you don't believe that it's just outright, it is sin because of these passages we're looking at, then you've got to at least agree that it is going to, by default, then fall into this questionable category. In other words, it is a subject that many brethren in the Lord's church are uncomfortable with, that they feel is not acceptable. And Paul discusses those kind of topics, those kinds of areas that some would say are acceptable, some would say are not. And I don't think that smoking falls into the scruple category. But if you want to put it there, the meat offered to idols category. But if you want to put it there, it's still a questionable practice. Romans 14, 14, if you esteem anything to be unclean, if you esteem anything might possibly be wrong, he says to you it is. It is unclean. Right? And you talk about smoking, it certainly sounds like something that's not clean in every sense of that, in the physical sense as well, not just spiritually speaking. I know that's not easy to hear, but I just want to teach the truth on this subject and what I believe with all my heart, because it's a questionable matter, if nothing else. It's something that we can't really prove is acceptable. And I'll give you one of the greatest reasons why is, physically speaking, now mentally maybe there's some stress relief, and we'll talk about that, but physically speaking, there is no positive whatsoever. There is zero nutritional value to smoking a cigarette. Not that it would justify it if there was, but there isn't. There's nothing about it other than maybe stress relief that you could say, this is beneficial to me. It's a very questionable practice. Romans 14, 23 says, and by the way, speaking of that which is put into the body, just interesting enough, he's talking about meat offered to idols, but he says, if he that eateth, that doubteth rather, that eats when he doubts, is condemned if he does so, because anything not of faith, that is not being assured by the Word of God, that's where faith comes from, he says is sinful. Christians are not here, we're not here to participate in things that we're not sure are acceptable to God. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to be sure that the decisions we're making are pleasing to God. And if there's any doubt that this might not only not be pleasing, but be sinful or contrary to His will, then I don't need to participate in that. It's not worth the risk. 1 Corinthians 8, talking about meat offered to idols more specifically. And this is why, I told you to file it away, this is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 12, one of a few reasons, that he's not going to be brought under the power of any. He's not going to let it take over him, because in 1 Corinthians 8 he explains, if you're participating in something, let's say that it's not sinful, but there are brethren around you that are struggling with it. They feel that it is sinful, but they see you participating in it. And he's talking about meat offered to idols as an example, right? There's no such thing as an idol in the literal sense. There's no such thing as a false god. It's just a hocus pocus that man has made up, and they're worshiping these false gods that don't really exist. But because there was meat being offered to these false gods, there were those who were uncomfortable with buying that meat in the market, with eating that meat. They didn't feel like that was acceptable, but there were brethren who knew that it was not a big deal. But Paul explains, if meat offered to idols causes someone else to stumble because those who were uncomfortable with it end up doing it by your influence, he says in verses 8 and following of 1 Corinthians 8, he says, you're causing them to sin, and in doing so, you sin against Christ. In other words, Paul says, I'm not going to participate in something that might cause my brother to sin, that might place a stumbling block in front of him. And when I am very aware that this practice, this subject, is something that people struggle with, is something that many people believe is wrong, I'm not going to encourage them to participate in that if I believe that it's not, if I believe that it is somehow justified. I hope that's making sense. Perhaps reading 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 13 will clear it up. Paul says, I'll eat no meat while the world stands if it causes my brother to offend. We are naturally very selfish beings, and we think about ourselves, but as children of God and serving a Savior who lived a life for others, I've got to make sure to think about others as well. And while I may think it's foolish that they think that way, and I don't believe it is foolish to think that smoking needs to be avoided, but you may think that it's foolish for them to think that way, but I still need to be considerate and not cause them to offend or to stumble. Again, I'm not saying that it's in this category of meat offered to idols, but if you want to debate and just disagree with everything else that we're talking about, then it's still going to fall into that category if nothing else. I hope that you're getting the idea. In every bit of my being, I'm trying to discourage you from practicing this. And those of you who are enslaved to it right now, who are struggling with it, we'll talk in a moment maybe about how to deal with that. One more point, though, before we get to that. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 talks about being good stewards of the grace of God. If we've not already dealt with it enough, just one last thought here. And I know, I feel for you guys who are involved with this smoking, because this is another thing that's brought up a lot. And it's, you know, we poke at it and we talk about it, but it is something to consider. I've got to be good stewards. That stewardship of the manifold grace of God, Peter says there in 1 Peter 4:10. Everything that by God's grace I have, I need to be a good steward of it. Not only my body, not only my family that I have in my possession, my wife, husbands that I am the authority of in the biblical sense, in loving her and her submitting to me. And anything that you have or are that is good is because of God. And in thinking about finances and thinking about our jobs and our money, that is God's grace upon us. The fact that we have those jobs and the money that we have. I was doing some research, and I just have to share this with you. In the state of Florida, the most recent one I could find, I think it was 2012, unfortunately, but the average cost of a pack, now, keep in mind, I know you can buy the pound and roll it yourself. I know that you can buy it in bigger proportions and it's a little cheaper. I know that. But in general, right, the average cost of a pack is $6.29 in the state of Florida. And interestingly, it made it very easy for me mathematically, the average that a smoker smokes a day is 20 cigarettes. So that really worked out. One pack a day is the average. Some are above that, some are less than that. Some smoke occasionally, some smoke a lot more than that a day. That's just the way it is. So let's stick with the averages. If you smoke 20 a day, 20 cigarettes a day, one pack, and you pay $6.29 per day per pack, then in a week, you're going to spend $44. 1 week, $44 on cigarettes. In a month, $190. In a year, $2,296. And in 50 years, which is about the average, you know, starting at, say, 18 years old and smoking till you're 68, or if you live longer than that, 78, or whatever it is, let's say 50 years, you're going to spend $114,800 on cigarettes. Realistically, though, you think about $44 a week, $190 a month, that's probably more than your high-speed internet bill, more than your cell phone bill, more than your cable television that you have, a portion of groceries, giving that you could be giving to the church. There are, and keep in mind, there are lots of other things we can waste money on too, but we're focusing on this subject. And it's true of other subjects as well, but it is not good stewardship for me to be spending money on something that has no benefit for me. If I want to have stress relief, there are other ways to do that that would be better. Things I don't have to spend money on at all, or things that would be better served to spend that money on. Stress can be a major problem. Let's talk about a few of these arguments, though, before we end here. Some of the arguments that are brought up in basically trying to say that we should be able to smoke cigarettes. And again, I love you, and everything that I'm saying to you is not, I don't mean to be insensitive. I just want to teach the truth about this subject. Number one, the Bible, and by the way, I've never heard anybody in this room mention this argument, but here's the ones that come up. I have heard others mention it. They say the Bible doesn't say not to. And this is very simple. This is never an acceptable argument for anything that you're trying to prove is acceptable to God. There's never a time that it would be a justifiable moment for you to say the Bible doesn't say not to. There's just nothing you could argue that God, I know God is acceptable to this because the Bible doesn't say not to do it. Because if the Bible was filled with every do not, I imagine it wouldn't fit in this building. The book would be so big that we couldn't read it in a lifetime. But I've told you before, and I'll mention it again for those of you who may not have been here, Hebrews 7 and verse 14, silence is prohibitive. When it comes to God talking about a subject and saying that this is how I expect it to be, He doesn't have to give you all the do nots. In fact, if you were to, and by the way, that particular passage is Moses did not speak, he did not prohibit the priesthood from being in the line of Judah. He said nothing about it. But God did say that the priesthood would be through the tribe of Levi. And automatically that excluded every other tribe without Moses having to go out and name them individually. right? Silence is prohibited. And so the Bible not saying that, you know, the Bible doesn't say not to kill unborn children. The Bible doesn't say not to smoke marijuana. The Bible does, I mean, we could go down the list of what the Bible does not say not to do. But there are principles that always take care of these subjects, that help us to better understand as we grow and mature in Christ what is wise and what is acceptable and what is not wise, what is sinful, what is not best to participate in. The Bible doesn't say not to is just not a good argument. That's the same argument used for instrumental music as well. Number two, it's not what goes in that defiles. You know, I appreciate this argument a little more because at least we're trying to use the Bible to help. And again, it's we're trying to justify something that isn't justifiable. But I appreciate this argument because there's a Bible passage involved. Let's look at this very quickly. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. We won't have time to go through all of this, but Matthew 15, 18, we can at least read the passage that is being often referenced. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Right? Verse 20, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Right? As you're reading through this, really you've got to jump back to verse 16 and read all of that. But he's talking about, you know, they're feeling like if they don't wash their hands, that they're defiling the body because they're eating with unwashed hands. And so Jesus is explaining to them, what goes into the body is not what defiles it. Right? So this is a very loose interpretation of what Jesus is saying here. He's talking about that which goes into the mind, into the heart. It's going to come out of the mouth. That's what defiles a man. But he's not saying literally there that therefore anything physically that you put into your body is acceptable. That's a very loose interpretation here. Would you use that same argument to say that it would be okay? You think about the, and I forget her name now, but the lady out west who had the brain cancer that decided to take her own life, and so she indigested, she took a pill that the doctor gave her to take her life. Would we say that was not defiling her, spiritually speaking, that was acceptable because it went in physically to the body? I don't think anybody would argue that. What goes into the body, he's talking about, you want to eat with, and kids, that doesn't mean don't wash your hands. It's good to wash your hands. But if you don't wash your hands and you eat, you know, a steak and potato and you didn't wash your hands, that's not going to cause you to lose your soul spiritually, right? Jesus is making a point about what goes into the heart. I've got to move on. Number three, overeating. Overeating is always brought up. And I'm not picking on anybody in this. Please know I'm not picking on you. It is always brought up. And I'll tell you what. One thing about this is I agree completely on this point as far as this goes, is that it can be sinful as well, and it's something we ought to preach against as well. We need to be consistent with sins of the Bible. I completely agree. If we want to talk about gluttony, which is, by the way, also implies laziness, slothfulness, if we want to talk about not taking care of our bodies and it can get too far with overeating and, you know, the occasional McDonald's cheeseburger is not sinful, right? And by the way, has nutritional value. It has a lot of things that are not nutritional, but it does have some nutritional value. But sure, we can overdo that and be addicted to that as well. We could be addicted to sodas and lose. I don't debate that. We need to be consistent. But hear me out, brothers and sisters. Overeating being sinful does not justify smoking. Just because we may not speak against overeating as we ought doesn't mean that smoking shouldn't be discussed or that smoking is all of a sudden justified, right? I get the argument, though, because we do need to be consistent. But another sin never means that sin is okay, if that makes sense. I think you get the point there. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. We'd argue it, if I preached on, and I've wrote an article on gluttony, I haven't just avoided it, but if I was to preach on gluttony, I'd use some of these same points. Overeating, addiction, those kinds of things, they would apply. Not necessarily, anyways, I won't even get into that, whether or not it's poisonous, but not in the sense of nicotine, I guess. But it doesn't hurt others. Argument number four. This one I don't have much respect for. I haven't heard anybody say it. And if you've used it, I don't mean any disrespect. But this could not be further from the truth. Spiritually and physically, it does hurt others. Number one, it's discouraging. Number two, secondhand smoking takes lives. I don't know. Yeah, I wrote down here, 53,800 die yearly to secondhand smoking. And I'm tell you what, I'm the recipient of this. And I didn't know if I was going to, I just have to tell you this. When I was in my mother's womb, my mother worked with and around us a couple of smokers. Every day she was around them. And when I came out of the womb, to this day, I have scarring in my lungs. And the doctors were very surprised that I could breathe as well as I could because of the damage that was done to my lungs because my mother was breathing in secondhand smoke. It does hurt others. I'm telling you it does. 53,800 die every year on average just from secondhand smoke. Never smoked a cigarette themselves in their lives. Spiritually speaking, we've already talked about how that influence can hurt others. The discouragement, even leading others to sin, should they pick up that habit and being uncomfortable with it themselves. 1 Corinthians 8:13, as we've already mentioned. Number five, and last but not least, most of the time, sometimes you just get to a point when you're talking that they get upset, get defensive, and just say, you know what, it's none of your business. With all the love in my heart, it is our business. Galatians 6:1, and here's why. Not because we just get to know everybody's business. It's not like that. But in Galatians 6:1, brethren, he says, if you know a brother who's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and bear ye one another's burdens, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're struggling with something that is contrary to God's will, or we even suspect might be contrary to God's will, it is our business because we love you and because we want to help you. And there are some great ways to get out of this addiction. There are some great methods out there, and many of you have tried different ones. In fact, there are several in this congregation who have smoked in the past that were able to get over that. A lot of times it's just cold turkey, which is very impressive to me. Maybe you go through some kind of system that they have, or you know, a gum or a patch or a hypnotism. There's all kinds of things. But nothing, listen to me, nothing can help you more, I truly believe, than prayer and God Almighty. And we need to know about that and let us know so that we can pray with you, that we can be there for you and encourage you to be held accountable. Accountability can go a long way. Let me just conclude with this thought, and I have to say it's on my mind. One of these teenagers has been picking on me. I've been going over the past few weeks, and she gave me a report card that, you know, it was very good in these areas, but time-wise I've not been doing well. So I recognize that I'm going over again, and I apologize for that, both young and old. Let me just say this, and I will conclude. We need to put an end to smoking. Always remember this, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, and the lesson will be yours. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Whether you're struggling with this or not, it's good for all of us to remember this passage. You know it, but read it with me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You're not dealing with something that others haven't struggled with. You're not being tempted by something that no one else has been tempted by. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I don't know if it's cold turkey. I don't know if it's going to be with the brethren, but there is a way to escape. And of course, he tells us there in the next passage to flee from it. Whatever it is, flee from it every way that you can. You're not dealing with something that is unbearable. It may be very close to it. It may be the hardest struggle you've ever dealt with. But you can get through this. And you've got to believe that. And you've got to trust God to help you to get through that. And maybe even if we can help you to get through that, we would love to do it. I know that this could be very difficult. I cannot imagine how hard it would be to quit such a strong addiction. But we need to give it our best effort. Pray to God and use Him and to use us. And if we can help you in that, we would love to do so. Put an end to that smoking. It may be that it takes you a few days to do that, but put an end to it. Make that effort and let God help you. Friends, if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I hope that you have been studying the Word and will continue to. And maybe you have begun to understand what Jesus has done for you. And if you believe that, and you're willing to make that great decision, wonderful decision, to turn away from sin and to live faithfully to Him. It's called repentance. What a great decision that is. And then to say with your mouth, to confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized in water, Acts 2 and verse 38, for the remission of your sins, to cleanse you from all that filthiness of the flesh that we've been discussing, all the sins of your life. Maybe you've done that and you've let something back into your life that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's an addiction that you need help with. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's something private that you want to keep private. And that's all right, but pray about that. Repent of it. But if we can help you, please confess that. Let us help you. We're not here to look down upon you or to to speak negatively toward you. We all have our struggles. We all understand. But we can help you and pray with you and for you. We'd love to do that. Won't you come forward if the need be as we stand and sing together.